Assalamu alaikum and hello and welcome dear viewers to Spotlight Middle East. I'm joined here live in the studio by Dr. Maher Salloum, an ambassador for peace. Hello and welcome to Spotlight Middle
East. Hello Farah, thank you for having me today. Thank you.
Fightings between Al-Qaeda linked Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, known as ISIL, and the militants of the Free Syrian Army, FSA, continues as hundreds were killed since the clashes began among the armed groups themselves in northern city of Aleppo. At times, government troops are conducting successful cleanup, if we can say, successful cleanup operations specifically across the country, inflicting heavy losses on the militants as they have opened a road linking Hama to Aleppo and regained the full control of more than 40 villages. Despite the praise Syrian president is receiving for destroying the chemical weapons in record time, Russia and China on their side are optimistic about the talks to be held in Geneva II conference, hoping that both sides can come to an agreement to resolve the situation in Syria. But how will the major divisions among foreign-sponsored Syrian opposition groups affect the participation or their participation in the forthcoming Geneva II conference on the ongoing crisis in Syria? For more on this, we will take a short look on this report and be right back.
As the UN Security Council supports a proposal by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to eliminate Syria's chemical weapons by mid-2014, and at the time when the Syrian government cooperates with the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, Human Rights Watch says Takfiri militants killed 190 civilians and held over 200 other hostages in Syria's western province of Latakia in August alone. The 105-page report done by the New York-based Human Rights Watch and based on an earlier visit to the area labels the attacks against civilians in over 12 cities crimes and possibly crimes against humanity. Meanwhile, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has said that countries are training Syrian militants in Afghanistan to use chemical weapons. Lavrov added, some reports indicate that Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Nusra Front is planning to smuggle toxic compounds and relevant specialists into Iraqi territories. General Ahmad Azumju, the OPCW director, said earlier, the cooperation has been quite constructive, and I would say the Syrian authorities have been cooperative. This comes amid Syrian army gaining control over the two strategic towns of the Yabiya and Husseiniya in East Ghouta, and foiling infiltration attempts near Aleppo. The U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has a stronger praise for Assad government's cooperation with the OPCW. A change of tone. Is this change of tone due to gains of Syrian army forces or due to U.S. becoming more aware that the only solution for the Syrian crisis is the political one?
Dr. Maher, more than 2 years and a half have passed on the ongoing crisis in Syria. If one wants to look back at these years that passed, what can one specifically understand? The government was strong enough to handle all this conspiracy on her, or there are other reasons that kept them firm all this time?
Okay, Farah, I would say that the oppositionists, they are weak enough
for
them to be divided. After 2.5 years, they have not undertaken or taken any any options or choices that they have been given actually mm-hmm. by a lot of groups regionally and nations internationally. Mm-hmm. They have not invested in such opportunities where they could have taken advantage to advance more on the battlefields against the regime of Bashar al-Assad. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Bashar al-Assad has been successfully defending his own nation, not only with his own logistics and intelligence and army patrol and his own defense mechanism, actually, or the plan by the Syrian National Army that I truly respect. I mean, the way that they defended themselves through this very tough period. All the world has been against Bashar al-Assad and his own army. And the wisdom of Bashar al-Assad and his own governments consecutively, even though one prime minister have left office and he has joined the opposition actually a year ago, let's say, but this has not led to any demotivation by the president himself. It has led him to recuperate and recooperate with all the existing factors that they have led actually or have supported his own successful position so far.
Okay.
On the ground today.
You spoke about how weak the opposition was from the beginning.
Yes.
Of course, because they don't have a wider vision, or at least a vision that they can walk along with, or even a leader, unified leader, that they can follow. In your opinion, then, what are the factors that kept the Syrian government that strong if the opposition was that weak?
Yes.
What are the factors today that played a pivotal role in keeping the Syrian government in that strength that mm-hmm. we've seen mm-hmm. throughout the year? Is it the Russian support, or is it this kind of self-confidence in the path that Bashar Assad actually chose,
yes.
and that's what he wanted to continue.
It is true at the end what you've said, but I believe the unity and the solidarity of the people of the Republic of Syria that have supported the president, their lovely president or their popular president, so far until now, statistics even by Qatari officials, and that they have been published actually on the media since months ago, Bashar al-Assad still until now, he exists and he is proven to be successful as president, and the people of the Syria, 70% out of them, they support Bashar al-Assad. This is first.
Yes.
You know, relatively speaking, for sure, the cooperation or the allies like the Russians and the Chinese have played a pivotal role. Nevertheless, for sure, the major role by the Islamic Republic of Iran in the area have led to such an economic positioning by the
regime.
So
the allies of Syria actually, they had a role here,
of course.
And they had the mission of supporting
definitely,
the Syrian
definitely,
government.
Definitely, Farah. Iran has played an economical role in supporting the industries of the Syrian Republic in Aleppo, in major cities in the north, even in Damascus. It has given aids, military aids, like any other nation that has given aids, military, I meant aids, to Jabhat al-Nusra, to the Syrian National, the Free Army, which is supported by the West, the Europeans and the Americans. Mm-hmm. They have supported the Brits, the French. So the Iranians have played an extremely important role in making Bashar al-Assad stand up on his feet. And nevertheless, do not forget the Islamic resistance inside Lebanon have played a pivotal role in Al-Qusair area and defended such a strategic location, because the Israelis and the intelligence of Israel inside Syria, they were planning to take over Al-Qusair and be as much as closer to suffocate the Hezbollah or the Islamic resistance in the northeast of Lebanon, I meant Baalbek Hermel, and according to analysts, military analysts inside Lebanon or in the Middle East, they wanted to play a certain role to attack Hezbollah eventually within months
but
or within
Doctor,
years.
But some of the Syrian citizens at the beginning of this unrest inside Syria, they had question marks, and to say the truth, some of them wanted reform in the constitution or even in the way that the government deals with its own citizens.
Yes.
Bashar Assad at the beginning accepted the fact that reform should be applied,
and
he was asking a space for that and the time sequence to prove that yes, he is willing to actually apply reforms, but some of these opposition did not give him the chance to. Mm-hmm. Eventually, later on, we've seen after that period, we immediately saw US newspapers saying that according to polls and according to surveys, most of the Syrian citizens are against the opposition and are no more calling for what they called at the beginning, as if they got this new idea about or knew exactly who the opposition were. Mm-hmm. What are the factors that played here? No. Is it because of the atrocities that these opposition played that revealed their true faces to the normal Syrian citizens?
No, Farah, if we are talking about now currently, the American interests inside Syria have changed.
Okay.
Due to the negotiations with the Iranians, which is a major important step behind in bringing peace or making peace hopefully inside Syria today. Now the Americans for sure they have an upper hand over the oppositionists, I meant the Syrian Free Army, Jabhat al-Nusra through Saudis or Qataris, and other Al-Qaeda factions through other infiltrators or terrorist major groups and major leaders that they can have a hand through. Because they have created such groups back in 1979, when they were attacking actually the USSR inside Afghanistan.
Okay.
I meant historically speaking about Al-Qaeda, who formed them, who formed Bin Laden,
and
now Zawahiri and such.
Mm-hmm.
Now the whole scenario right now inside Syria have been changing since a couple months ago until now.
Mm.
The successful defense of the president himself, the strength of Bashar al-Assad, of his own army, leading the battlefield on ground, has made him a historical figure in the Arab world right now.
Okay.
The populous movement of the peoples of the Arab world that they have strongly supported, like yesterday we had a huge conference inside Beirut, Lebanon, supporting Bashar al-Assad and his role in against the U.S. Possible invasion back then. Now there's no serious attack so far. No one is talking about it.
Okay.
But the possible Israeli involvement and the Mossad in bringing up such any movement that can act as a barrier against Bashar al-Assad.
How can this major division now seen lately among foreign fighters inside Syria, while Syrian troops are conducting successful cleanup operations across the country, as we highlighted, and of course inflicting heavy losses on the militants, how can this two scenarios that I just described control the balance of war inside Syria or the battlefield, when the Syrian government is successfully committing or even opening villages, meanwhile divisions are expanding among the opposition?
What can that
tell us about the balance of war?
Yes, Farah, just like I mentioned in the beginning of our talk today or discussion, I mean the weakness inside or the lack of strength inside the oppositionists, I mean their lack of administration. There's no one administrator.
But no one expected for them to go that far. I mean fighting among themselves, killing more than hundreds among themselves.
It will be eventually. Because, I mean, they have not performed as legally speaking. They were infiltrated by most foreign troops or foreign armies from the Arab nations. Even individuals coming in, walking or marching through the Turkish borders with Syria or through the Qatari support inside Syria, you know. I meant any tactic possible, they have infiltrated since 2.5 and even since 3 years. So do not go back only 2.5 years, because this has been well planned and well thoroughly planned, you know, before 2.5 years. It could be 3 or 4 years before.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, a major catastrophic...
And there are a lot of critics actually said that, criticized that how come the Syrian government did not pay attention or did not know and understand...
I was going to pinpoint something very important to you, Farah. If you remember with me and the people watching us tonight, what happened inside Iraq, the bombings that started of Al-Qaeda inside Iraq during the period when Bashar still in power and everything was fine inside Syria.
Yes.
The infiltrated terrorist Al-Qaeda that came from Syria, from Saudi Arabia to Damascus through their international airports and through major, you know, transitional points or movements through Syrian borders inside Iraq, this has played an extremely catastrophic, you know, destruction to the security inside Syria.
Mm-hmm.
When there's corruption in the security on the borders, when there are high-ranking officers of Syrians that they can accept any bribes or anything in return for Al-Qaeda to come in and infiltrate inside Iraq to plot bombings and car bombs inside Iraq, this has created the first step towards any civil war inside Syria today.
Okay, of course, you'll be speaking more about this point specifically after the break. Dear viewers, stay tuned.
Okay.
Dear viewers, welcome back. Dr. Syria was threatened by a war from the U.S. and its allies for the alleged use of chemical weapons against civilians. Today, What are the factors again that pushed Obama back then to think about even attacking Syria? Was it only the pretext of using chemical weapons?
No, I'm sure not. Chemical weapons is not the only factor that made Obama change his mind. It was the pressure by the Russians inside the security UN Security Council and the Chinese role for sure. The veto by the Chinese and the Russians inside the United Nations. When they were planning actually to set up the new United Nations Security Council number, I think 2119 or 1229, I'm not sure the number, but the previous actually, very you know, current UN resolution, this resolution number has been plotted by the West and specifically by the United States and the Israeli interest in the area in order to have any Article 7 coming up in order to attack Syria.
So the intentions were there from the beginning.
Yes, for sure. Now the international involvement or the division, the international division between the camps of the Russians and the Chinese on one side and the Iranians and the other side, the Europeans and the Americans and the Qataris and the Saudis and the Arab nations, unfortunately, and the Arab League vis-a-vis, because the Arab League, 18 states out of it, they played a supportive role towards the opposition against Bashar al-Assad. Okay. And this is absolutely, has not been taken by history of the Arab world, I mean, since the creation of the Arab League.
Okay.
And the involvement of the Egyptian popular movement today after the new coup d'etat against Mohamed Morsi have played an excellent role in supporting the legitimacy of Bashar al-Assad inside Damascus.
Okay. And many speak about the pressure that Benjamin Netanyahu practiced on Obama
for sure,
for this war to be committed.
For sure. The pressure was to lead towards
Through the lobby, through the Congress, through the U.S.
He was very much interested in order to attack Bashar al-Assad, to have a reason for that through the United States and the West.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw the coming call between Iran and the United States, the successful negotiations, the phone call between President Rouhani and President Obama, any gist of goodwill between the United States and Iran was threatening Israel strategically, not only militarly, but strategically inside the area. Israel got mad. You can see his face when he met Obama.
Nations.
He was very pale. He looked yellowish.
And even a speech before was kind
so
of...
So he was automatically disturbed. His response was very negative, and he was trying to put more pressure against the Iranians and the nuclear power plants inside Iran.
Mm-hmm.
This is their goals and this is their dream, to see Iran destroying their nuclear power plants and to destroy the system or the nation of Syria under Bashar al-Assad.
So the plan is a military war on Syria, and through Syria we can invade Iran.
Yes, for sure.
So it's like as if it's a bridge to the dreams, to their dreams, or
not
even
only
to,
that,
to achieve their goals.
Once destroying the system or the Bashar al-Assad, the backbone of Iran has been destroyed, because the backbone of Iran towards Palestine, which is the main reason of all our systems, all our nations, all our Islamic goals, actually. The Imam Khomeini, when he founded Iran, his major goal was to liberate Palestine and the state of all the Arab nations in the Muslim world. Palestine, the sacred Palestine, Jerusalem, the Prophet Muhammad who ascended to the skies from Jerusalem. This is the main aspirations and the goals of the Islamic world. And tonight it's the Adha holiday. I wish everyone a special holiday, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And Mubarak.
Doctor, another factor also here, Obama's speech gave the impression clearly that a war would happen inside Syria, and it's only a matter of time. Even newspapers along the region highlighted, and everyone was preparing, to say the truth, for an expected war on Syria.
Of course.
Suddenly, Obama retreated in one way or another, directly or indirectly, but that step has been taken.
The question
why,
is
in
why,
your opinion?
Exactly. Now, the United States president, usually any president, Farah, has a Security Council advisors. He advises people. He has now, which is the the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, is the national security advisor for his own office. And she
and
has,
John
at,
Kerry,
least,
U.S. Secretary of State.
She has at least 12 advisors for her in order to plan any attack in the world for the United States interests internationally.
Yes.
Now, they have realized after well studying that it's not to their own benefit to attack Syria today. If you remember with me, just a month ago, when the United States hesitated, and specifically Obama, when they were planning not to attack, maybe give more diplomatic chance, the Israeli fired a rocket missile from the Mediterranean Sea in order to picture to the whole world the war is has begun so far. And the Syrians were under their own nerves, and the Lebanese too, because we're on the borders. Lebanon is not
affected,
out of the picture. For sure, everyone will be involved in the Arab world, specifically those nations close to Syria and Israel or Palestine today. Now, what we ought to be aware of is how can we defend our nation, specifically now, the threat towards one of the monuments, one of the temples, one of the backstone or the backboard for the whole Arab world, which is Syria today. Syria has played a pivotal role since Hafez Assad took over in 1970. The major reason behind this attack is to destroy the historic man, which is Hafez al-Assad, and the new Syria that he has created vis-a-vis Israel. He has, you know, to my own understanding, I would like to say this. When I was a student in the United States, I've been studying master's degree there. I went to the library inside my school. All the meetings, the congressional foreign meetings, were led by Henry Kissinger. They have discussed 90% of those hearings about Hafez al-Assad, how important it is to get rid of that regime inside the area, because he has been totally strategic, totally intelligent enough to defend the whole Arab world and stand up on
the resistance of Lebanon,
for sure. For sure, historically, he's been proven successful.
Okay, Doctor, many spoke about Obama's step not to attack Syria. It's due to the fact that he lost a major ally today, which is Britain.
Yes.
I mean, lots of...
He lost the support of the people of Britain.
The support of the people of Britain. What can you say about that? Is it that's when he started changing his opinion about the war, or is it because he asked for the vote in the Congress, he did not get the enough support he was expecting, and he even soldiers were even attacking the idea, or even saying that we will not launch a war where U.S. is funding Al-Qaeda, will not launch a war against Al-Qaeda in Syria. Yes. We've seen a lot of that in the press.
Farah, I'm sorry. The true orientation about Obama's position after the British rule, let us admit the democracy, the lovely democracy of Britain that have shown to the whole world the successful democracy inside Britain today, where the parliament has blocked or vetoed against the Prime Minister David Cameron.
Though David Cameron promised that he would
now,
be there.
Do not underestimate the role of the democracy in the West, the people the West. The people, they are well aware
of course, through the House of Commons.
Yes, and the experience behind Iraq or the invasion in 2003 by the Brits and the Americans was not a good experience, not at all. It was a bad experience because they have lost so many soldiers and high officers, high-ranking officers. The invasion in Afghanistan has not been successful, so the total failure of the Brits and their military, you know, attacks on the whole world with the leadership of the United States internationally have led to a role by the people to put high pressure on the government and vis-a-vis the Parliament of England.
Yes.
This has been resolving such an image, or given an image inspiring the people in the United States, where they have led inside strikes against Obama's decision to attack Syria even.
Doctor, despite the fact that we've also seen criticism by the American citizens themselves, themselves, as in that we found some kind, or we touched some kind of awareness
I was gonna
right?
say. Bravo.
Among them, as if saying that you will not repeat the same war
the
launched in Iraq exactly on Syria.
Yes.
We will not, the history will not repeat itself again.
Yes, exactly.
Will not fall in the same trap twice.
Exactly.
How did you sense that? Is that also played the pivotal pressure on Obama to actually change his mind about
for
the attack?
For sure. Look at the United States shot down by the government. If he hadn't needed any popular support, he wouldn't have standed by the people's decision to not to attack Syria. He has been submissive towards the people's decision. When the people march, when the people strike against any president, he should be submissive to the orders of his own people, because the people are usually the sources of any political constitution, of any political office, whether it's presidency, whether it's the Senate or the House inside the Congress.
Okay. Moving on to another scenario, Russia then later on came up with an initiative to keep the chemical weapons under the international law, Syrian chemical weapons under international law. In your opinion, how did you read Bashar Assad's acceptance at the beginning of keeping chemical weapons arsenal under international law? Was it a smart step for him?
For sure, it has been well thought of with the Iranians. Remember me.
Yes, with the Iranians
in cooperation, because the Iranians, I believe, they have sent him a signal to abide by it and be submissive to the orders of international coalition right now through the United Nations.
Yes.
He has not been submissive towards
the
orders of
the West. Can we say that it's a Russian-Iranian-Syrian agreement?
Of course. Now, the agreement between Sergei Lavrov and John Kerry, the foreign ministers of Russia and the United States, have played a pivotal role towards Bashar al-Assad in taking such a decision where he has been promised by Sergei Lavrov, they won't attack you in case you submitted all the chemical weapons, and this is what Israel wanted.
Exactly.
So he has given the Israelis
a good
positive remark. Exactly, no excuses in order for them to pressure the Americans in order to go another plan.
But Bashar Assad said that we will not submit or will not hand in our chemical weapons out of fear of the United States, but out of a personal belief that we should give the chemical weapons to keep them under international.
But one important point by the president, and I've seen Bashar Assad in his own discussion on TV lately, an interview with him, special interview with the BBC or CNN, that he have not been submissive, but he ordered or he cooperated. He did not order, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He cooperated with the Russians for the issue or the agenda of the Russians in order to destroy all chemical weapons in the Middle East.
Okay.
Not only inside Syria, Farah, also in Israel, in Lebanon, for God bid, because Lebanon does not have chemical weapons so far, or any major Arab nation in the Middle East.
Okay.
So it should be a general move by the Russians and the United Nations and the Americans in order to stop such
John Kerry, U.S. Secretary of State, from the beginning of the conflict inside Syria, he was using tough words against Bashar Assad. He was using loaded words, if we can say, against the regime as a whole. Shockingly, and later on, we've actually heard after the chemical weapons were given to the international
people. He flattered Bashar Assad.
Exactly, thank you. He was giving brightful remarks about the cooperation of Bashar Assad and how fast it was to actually dismantle chemical weapons.
Yes.
How did you read the stance? Even if Bashar Assad was good enough and was cooperative enough, but does that require politically that standard of words and twist in minds and change?
This is an excellent movement by the West, actually. We need to admire such a position by John Kerry
but
now
when
he flatters now Bashar al-Assad.
Yes.
Because he has been standing well now off the Israeli standing point.
Yes.
He's doing that because they do not want to keep on going with the war inside Syria. It has been costing them a lot, economically speaking, and during the world economic values now. The United States is under pressure. The shutdown of the government is a signal or a response of what's going on inside Syria.
Mm.
I can read politics not only from Syria and Lebanon, but from the whole world what's going on inside Syria today. This affects the whole world, the whole globe, actually.
So can we say that this is the beginning of a first step in another path used or another process or policies used against Syria?
It's a step ahead, like you mentioned earlier, through Geneva, too.
Now coming in for
negotiations between the major factions, I mean the regime and the opposition inside Syria.
Okay.
Unless they did not work it out, they're going to go to another place, I think Geneva 3 and 4.
Okay, doctor, as long as you're reading politics, you said from a various perspective and seeing it as a whole or from above, how did you read the new approaches conducted by both Iran and the U.S., this new diplomacy that have not been taken place since 1979?
Yes.
How did you read it today in the United Nations?
Really, I was positively and remarkably shocked, by such an advancement in such a negotiation. It has led towards a meeting between John Kerry and Mohammad Jawad Zarif.
Yes.
This is an excellent move by the West and an excellent move by the Iranians themselves. I believe we ought to and we need to think strategically now. Now is the time. We do not only destroy Israel by militarily, we do not destroy Israel by religion, by philosophy of our own Islamic religion, but we destroy Israel also by diplomatic efforts, by diplomatic missions, by diplomatic involving situations such as now. The Iranians, they are very patient, patient, I meant on the source of patience, and they are strategically excellent diplomats, have proven to be since the creation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The goals of Imam Khomeini, I think, and the Sayyid Khamenei today, the Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, can be well evolved, well developed under any negotiation step between the West today and the Iranians. It won't be, a loss when we negotiate with the Americans, when we prove to the Americans that what we are doing is legal, is straightforward, and we are transparent enough as Iranians to show the power of Iran and to show the institutions of Iran and the real constitution of Iran, how well developed it is.
A final break, dear viewers, and we will be back with Dr. Maher Saloom. Dear viewers, welcome back. Doctor, how will we see the result of such initiative or such a new diplomacy, if we can say, that has been happening between Iran and the US? How will we see the results on the countries mm-hmm. that are facing instability, mm-hmm. speaking specifically and going back to Syrian mm-hmm. crisis?
I would like to pinpoint very important point, and this has not been said through a lot of TVs. If you remember with me, when the Americans, they have successfully involved themselves in direct negotiations with the Iranians, look what's happening inside the Republican Party through the Jewish lobby and the AIPAC inside Washington. They have pressured and pushed the Republicans to shut down the American government in order to punish Obama, yes. because of his situation mm. with the Iranians, the newly, lately developments.
Yes.
So all of this is as a result of such important negotiations, such an important step behind the Americans coming in to comfortably sit down and discuss all the relations, all the issues concerned with the Iranians. Mm. Now, in a responsive image or a responsive result, a positive result would deem be necessary is towards the economic standards of the Iranian now economy,
yes.
and the Americans'
lift
involvement
the sanctions, you
inside
mean?
Iran. Yes, lifting mm. sanctions, opening discussions about economic bilateral talks, mm. and the importance of building such confidence between the economy of the United States and the economy in Iran.
Okay.
Because once you have an 80 or 65 to 70 million mm-hmm. people market inside Iran today, this is a great chance,
okay.
a positive chance for the Americans to be involved.
A lot of people are even optimistic about this new diplomacy that is
yes.
used between the two countries. Even here in Lebanon, they're saying that we are no more depending on Saudi Arabia and Syria, SS, to actually resolve the situation in Lebanon.
Exactly.
But we are depending on the AA, America
exactly,
and
exactly.
Iran.
It's the high standard,
Arabic,
now,
yes.
Iran and Americans,
yes.
not Saudis and Syrians.
Exactly.
Yes.
So even in Lebanon, they are depending on this diplomacy that is used,
yes.
and are
yes.
seeing some kind of hope.
And this will be reflected by forming a new government by Tamam
exactly,
Salam, for example.
Exactly.
Yes.
But how will this meeting also reflect on Syria? Does that mean that we should be optimistic about the things going on over there? And probably this kind of partial agreement that we haven't seen the implications of that yet on the ground. But will it affect Syria?
I think the smile by Bashar al-Assad lately in his interview on the TV with the CNN, I believe, or CBS, the American channel, actually,
yes.
lately, just a week ago, the smile has been a response towards the paleness and to the weakness of Benjamin Netanyahu in the White House.
Okay.
It has been an excellent measure by the president, an excellent signal by the strength of Bashar al-Assad towards any negotiations between Iran and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a reflect to that, the statement by John Kerry saying that I believe that Bashar al-Assad has made an excellent move
mm.
by submitting his all chemical weapons to the United Nations so
and
far
in a very
and
short period of time.
To their committees coming in inside Damascus. And lately we have seen, mm. just yesterday, mm-hmm. this is the third involvement by the United Nations so far to look for chemical weapons, and they have founded that the Jabhat al-Nusra and all other opposition groups have made such chemical weapons, have infiltrated chemical weapons through Saudi market or Qatari market or whatever, name it, terrorist groups, you know, internationally that they have a relationship with, has proven to be guilty by them. And the Americans now, they have seen the clearer picture, mm-hmm. transparently enough, to know that Bashar al-Assad is not only involved in chemical weapons, mm-hmm. that they are involved.
Okay, many even describe the U.S. that they actually took that step or that initiative with the Iranians because they felt that their position in the world became kind of weak when speaking about economy or even about the balance of world powers along the region. China is taking its own
yes.
role on that. Does that make sense? I mean, speaking about when Obama made the initiative
mm-hmm.
because of the position that he was in, of how weak it was, and that's why he felt that he needs more allies.
Very important
and he
question.
Doesn't need more enemies.
Now, if you remember with me, the Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, when he intervened about the role of President Rouhani coming in the United Nations corridors and meeting U.S. Diplomats back then and trying to open up dialogue right away
mm-hmm.
with no borders, with no talks, with no preparation actually, or no plan for such talks, this has shown a signal, a negative signal, unfortunately, to some sources inside Iran and to some Chinese sources, officials, and the Russians. They were a bit awakened and they have been shocked
mm.
and why Iran has been transforming its positioning so far towards the West, and they have been playing an excellent role with us as allies, and the Russians and the Chinese
mm.
they have supported technologically, logistically, militarily, and nuclear wise inside Iran
mm.
so they have played an excellent role. But this doesn't mean that Iran cannot take the initiative towards opening up dialogue and bringing peace between the relationship of U.S.-Iranian
Doctor, despite the fact that the Israelis are threatened by this new diplomacy used by Iran and between Iran and the U.S., we've seen Hebrew newspapers actually in the past few weeks screaming out loud about the fear of, of this sit-in or the diplomacy that is used. Ha'araj, Jerusalem Post, Yehuda Ahronot, the old newspapers were actually speaking about the failure of Obama to keep their promises, to keep his promises about protecting Israel, and by this way he's not protecting it. A lot of criticism even to Benjamin Netanyahu,
that the government and the opposition
pressured Obama enough. How would this diplomacy now affect not only the Israelis but also the Saudis?
Very important question. Now we have, you know, we have read, I have personally read and I've analyzed that what has been talking about by Israeli staff and journalism and the government itself and even the opposition, that, that they are opening towards the Saudis and the Gulf in order to bring a better bilateral relationship, in order to stand up against any future, let's say, peacemaking between Iran and the United States, or any cooperative contractual, let's say, contract between the U.S. And the Iranians, because this has been shown as a threat towards the Gulf countries and the Israeli actually independence inside the Middle East today, or the Israeli sole, let's say, power inside the Middle East technologically and upon the nuclear power plants, of their standing point against Iran. Because always Israel towards the West, it should be number one in the Middle East, not only number one, it should be technologically, militarily number one in the Middle East in order to defend the United States interest and the Israeli during the recent history of the creation of Israel since 1948 until now.
Okay.
This has been the agenda of foreign affairs of the United States. Now, the true issue here is that they need, actually, the Americans to put out the fear of the government of Israel, try to open up slowly and as cool as much as they can. They need to calm down Bibi Netanyahu and the government and not to pinpoint any fear towards Iran. Try to calm them down, try to convince them that this is towards your own benefit also. Because once the Americans, they gain money or gain billions of dollars of the Iranian market when they sell their own products inside the Iranian markets, and the Iranian will benefit mutually also, then the Israelis will have certain aids by the American government, because the American government has been shutting down due to the debt, you know, or the indebted debt of the United States so far.
Middle East experts are saying that the Israelis and the Saudis have been virtually merging into one country of Saudi-Israelia to destroy Syria for Israel, turn it into three small balkanized little states, and go through Syria in an attack on Iran. Do you agree with this?
Well, this is a dream, I think, that they are planning for. I do not submit myself.
As if this diplomacy used between Iran and U.S. united Saudi Arabia and Israel, because they stand on the same block.
This is, I think, a dream by Israel and the Saudis to think of dividing the nation of Syria. The nation of Syria until now is united, standing still strongly enough behind the president himself, by his own people and his own relationship around the world. I think this this is only a dream by the Saudis and the Israelis.
Human Rights Watch released a report saying that Takfiri militants in Syria killed more than 90 civilians and held over 200 other hostages in the country's western province of Latakia in August alone. Of course, in addition to this report issued by HRW, we've got also more documents proving crimes and atrocities committed by the opposition themselves. Wouldn't such reports pile up and act as a paper that can shake the international community, and at least because HRW's documents are taken in consideration here? Wouldn't that pile up to actually place a pressure on international community to intervene and solve the situation?
You mean the paper of Takfirism, or
The papers of the proving that the oppositions are committing crimes inside?
For sure.
Because HRW are documenting it.
Yes, Farah.
If the press says it, they say they're making it up.
You're right, maybe this is lately only 90. Now thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have paid the price, you know, inhumanely enough by the oppositionists, by Takfirism, by Jabhat al-Nusra, by Al-Qaeda infiltrated inside Syria, by the Syrian. But remember something, lately I've seen signals that the Free Syrian Army have had enough from Jabhat al-Nusra, and that's why they are attacking
divided,
each other.
Yes.
They are destroying each other right now. The National Syria, the National Army of Syria under Bashar al-Assad have been accepting good or positive, you know, signals from the Free Syrian Army that it could be a result bringing them back towards the National Syrian Army and then defending the whole nation against such barbaric acts and terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda and Jabhat al-Nusra.
Okay. If these allegations are proven rightly and according to the information that we have, will it go any further from the UN Security Council to the ICC, to the International Criminal Court? Does the HRW today have the right to take these papers from the UNSC, United Nations Security Council, to the ICC?
It could be. Now, if there is full transparent investigation by the ICC and the international courts, why not let them send any troops or involved logistically or any committee that's well professionally, you know, professionally has the experience in order to investigate fully who has been committing such crimes and atrocities.
Yes.
Let them be held responsible inside the courts of Hague or inside the courts of the international law.
Okay, international even lawyers said that the UNSC must take measures to put an end to the crimes that the Takfiri and terrorist groups are committing in Syria. Do you really believe that the UNSC is half the solution? I mean, the U.S. is still funding the rebels inside Syria. It's not like there is an international agreement to actually stop funding the opposition and end the war within the country. Money is still being sent to and even Saudi Arabia.
Okay, I believe the United States and the Europeans, not most of them, the Germans are not involved, the Italians are not involved, the Spaniards are not involved, only the French and a little minute army supported by the Brits so far, because due to the democracy under the parliament, only the United States majorly and France have been shipping such logistics or military aid through different channels in order to support such opposition. On the parallel side, they have been trying to diplomatically solve such issues and such difficulties inside the nation.
Doctor, obviously many said that what happened or Turkey's involvement inside Syria would backfire on Turkey specifically, because here the foreign-backed militants and other terrorists have sought to take over Kurdish towns in the region, and I'm sure that you heard about that, particularly those along the Turkish border or those near the key oil facilities, threatened an intervention by Iraq, Kurdistan also. How dangerous is this today, and are we like witnessing the beginning of Turkey's involvement inside the war inside Syria, or at least that's the price that they would pay?
I'm sure you realize on TV a week ago or almost days ago that the car bombings inside Turkey have been as a result of the Turkish involvement in Syria today and the effect by the Kurdish Democratic Party inside Turkey and in the north of Syria.
Yes.
Now the Kurdish have played an important role.
So they have been starting to pay the prices.
The Kurds have paid the price by the Turks since long time
ago.
Right now they
and
are
now
closer.
Now they have to face the opposition that the Turkeys are funding.
Not only that, they are very close to the President Bashar al-Assad, and they have been leaders in defending such a nation of Syria with Bashar al-Assad in attacking the Jabhat al-Nusra in the north and defending
Bashar
themselves.
Bashar al-Assad used them to flame the country, to flame Turkey.
No, this is not a successful tactic by Bashar al-Assad. I think they themselves have initiated such a measure in order to defend the institutions of the Kurdish mini-state, let's say, in the north between Syria and Turkey.
Before our time is up, what are you expecting of Geneva 2 conference amid this major division among the opposition, which is a catastrophe to the side of the opposition themselves? When they don't have a unified leader, then how would they conduct a war or a battle like the one in Syria? And amid also government strength here.
Okay. I believe that the Syrian role is highly important between the factions of the regime or the regime itself. There's no factions on the regime, only one faction, which is Bashar and his government.
Yes.
And other multi-factions and oppositionists. I believe such representation should sit down calmly and discuss such issues with peace and with their love of their nations, and try to solve any difficulties that they can stand as barriers between those factions.
Do you feel that the government is a stronger position here in the battle?
In the
conference?
And the government will sit down in the government.
Will they be in a stronger position here?
Yes, I'm
because
sure.
Because of course they cooperated
I'm
with
sure.
the international community. They cooperated with the initiatives, the Russian initiative.
And they have reformed.
And they have proved.
Plus, Farah, you mentioned earlier, if you remember, the constitutions and the reforms. They have constitutionally reformed the country. They have given the choice to the people now. They have a different parliamentary system. He has been given also for other candidates to run. This has not been in the national Syrian nation or the nation of Syria under Hafez al-Assad. and under Bashar al-Assad, because only one leader can rule the world, the nation back then. Now he has given democratic choices of the Syrian people to elect any president coming up in 2014.
Mm-hmm. And of course, our eyes will be on Geneva too. Thank you very much, Dr. Maher Saloum, for being with us, and Ambassador for Peace. And thank you for this great analysis.
Thank
Wish you a great flight also to wherever you are going.
Thank you very much
for being a great guest on Saha TV and on Spotlight Middle East specifically. Dear viewers, that's all the time that we have. Thank you for watching.